You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter in about 15 minutes. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Rouleau will join us for a little weather and wine. And we're going to talk about how much more snow we're going to get, which is good news for our next guest. Maybe not necessarily for everyone, but joining us right now from the wonderful American Birkebeiner is Sean Connolly. Good morning, Sean. Nice to see you. Nice to know you have snow. I think you're muted, Sean.
Oh, you're muted. Hold on one second, Sean. There we go. Oh,
there you go.
How's that? Is that better?
Much better.
All right, cool. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here. And yes, we're looking forward to a little more snow in the forecast. But as people who follow the Berkey are very keenly aware, we announced Monday that we are officially having a downtown Hayward Main Street finish, which is something we were not able to have last year. As we talked about last time I was on the show, it was a very unique year, our 50th anniversary, low snow year. So we had to rely heavily on our snowmaking capabilities that we have up in Cable, Wisconsin at our property, Mount Telemark Village. So we did a 10-kilometer loop up there, which ended up being really, really cool because we had all these World Cup athletes that were coming over from Minneapolis because the World Cup was in Minneapolis last year, the weekend before the Berkey. Perfect. So we normally, like, we have some really elite athlete skiers that come to the Berkey, which is super cool. But the World Cup, like the best of the best, they're generally somewhere else in the world. Right? Because the World Cup moves around every year. But last year just so happened to be in Minneapolis. So it was great that we were able to pull all those World Cup athletes over and people were able to stand in one spot and watch them go by in circles with their beer, which is pretty cool. So like they're able to like sit in our celebration zone, have a beer, watch people go in circles. This year, we're back out on the American Birkebeiner Trail, which our participants love. It's a historic trail. It's our 51st year of the American Birkebeiner. And that Cable to Hayward journey is just something that is just coveted. There's songs written about it. There's books written about it. I mean, it's something that people are really excited for. So we're really excited to be able to do that. We got just enough snow to do it.
I remember there's a Birkebeiner theme song, isn't there?
Oh, Berkey Fever. Fever. Written by Chris Henham. It's pretty great. Berkey Fever. Let me tell you. Yeah, I could play us out anyways. But then actually I had a little time over the weekend, so I wrote a new one. It's a parody of the Shabooski song. You know, whiskey. That song. Yeah, I made a Berkey version of it. So anyways, yes, there's people who love writing songs, bud. It's super fun. You'll find it on Spotify soon if you're interested in looking it up. It's so cool. There's the atmosphere is here. It's electric. It's, you know, we're a week out, a week from today, we'll start having all of our like Thursday Main Street. So it's a whole week of activities, right? It starts on Wednesday with our open track, and the open track is for people who want to do the Berkey, but maybe they don't want the craziness of all the thousands of people and going fast. They just want the experience of being out on the trail. So
sure,
the open track is a great day for that. Then a week from today on Thursday, it's kind of our family day, really. It's the Barna Berkey, which is Barna is a kid's race. So Barna Berkey, we have our Junior Berkey for the kids who are leveling up a little bit, still want to compete. Our Barkey Berkey, which is skijoring. So that's people skiing with a dog tied around their waist, skiing down the trail. It's awesome. So that's our Barkey Berkey. And then we have our Para Berkey, which is really cool. It's for adaptive skiers, so skiers of all abilities. And then also our giant ski, which is really exciting. Six people on one pair of skis, generally in costume, generally just trying to stay alive. But we've had some pretty highly contested contestants and teams in the past for that race. So we're looking forward to that one too. So Thursday is kind of our big fun day. Friday is the half Berkey race. We call it the Cordalopet. So that's if you want to ski the 30K instead of the 50K. And then on Saturday is the main event. It's our 51st American Birkebeiner.
Sean, just be honest. How much drinking is involved with coming up with something like the Barky Bernie? I mean, come on. You guys are sitting tipping back at few and going, you know, it would be really great. Have him tie a dog around his waist.
Hey. What's crazy? I mean, it's a big sport. Cajoring's really big. If you're into it, like, it's kind of wild. It's a niche, but it is a niche that people are all into for sure. It's kind of wild. But not to, that's not to say there aren't shot skis lining the course of the Berkey. There are definitely people.
See, that was like my brain went to is like, you know, I love you five guys. I'd be on skis with you. We could do this. We should do this right now. And then open a bar. You know, just a lot of planning at the Birkebeiner.
I'd highly suggest Googling the Nimrods Giant Ski Tee. So the Nimrods are a group of guys up here that they are the giant ski guys. They've won it numerous years in a row, and they take it a little too seriously. So seriously that they've done two documentaries on themselves. So if you want a behind the scenes look into it, it's super fun. So yeah, the Nimrods Giant Ski Team. They have their trailers out on YouTube, and yeah, it was super fun to see their second release last year. So yeah, we're in the thick of Berkey season now, and like I said, just enough snow. So for people who are skiers, generally they're used to, you know, our pristine snow that we have up here, you know, feet of snow that right. With a really nice base. We don't have that this year. You know, our first half of the race is going to be it's going to have like a nice foot or so of base of snow. So it's going to be nice and pristine. The last 10 kilometers is going to be a little bit, but you know, there'll be some grass poking through here and there. There'll be some leaves. And, you know, we had a big talk about like, what is the race experience versus the event experience. And I think people want that event experience of going down Main Street. So we got enough snow to cover Main Street. So that will start, this Monday, we'll start building a bridge that goes over the highway and goes down into Main Street. Then we'll start piling it up with snow on Tuesday. And then we're off to the races on Wednesday.
You must have an army of volunteers to pull this off.
We're so fortunate. Very, very fortunate. Literally, we'll have 2,000 volunteers over this weekend to be able to make this happen. It's wild. And people come out of the woodwork. People come from all over the world and come from different countries to come ski this race. They'll ski their race on Saturday, but they'll show up on Wednesday and be like, how can I help? Like, just show me where I can. Can I hand out some water somewhere? Can I shovel some snow somewhere? You know, what can we do? And so that's what we're so fortunate to make that happen. And if anybody out there is wants to come on up and experience it, I highly suggest coming on up. And volunteering is a great way to just sort of get involved and really feel like you're part of the community up here. You get a great hat, and we're going to feed you. So Berkey.com/volunteer. All of our volunteer listing slots are up there. So it's worth coming to check out.
We'll make sure and include that link in our show notes.
Absolutely. Are there Berkey friends? Like, people like they see each other every year at the Birkebeiner. Like, they know that, like, it's like, oh, I'm gonna see Alan next year, and we have a great time. We're gonna have fun. And that's just like, that's their one time of the year they get to see each other.
That's it. I mean, that's for so many people, this is their tradition. They come up here. This is their time to see their Berkey family. Yeah. Gosh, even last year, I was skiing at, 2 years ago before I took this job. Because once we work in the job, we're a little too busy to do it, unfortunately. I know, but hey, it gives me more joy, and you get more reward at bringing it to other people than doing it yourself. But a couple of years I'm skiing and I'm like looking next to me, and it was a guy I played like middle school football with and haven't seen like 10 years. I'm like, Tyler? And he's like, how's it going, man? And like, and that's just kind of how it goes. You run into people on the trail. We have an amazing story in our Birchcast. We have a podcast called the Birchcast. So everything around here has something to do with birch. And there's a big history behind that. The whole Birkebeiner is actually storied after a Norwegian prince that was rescued in 1206. His name is Prince Håkon, and he was skied to safety during a civil war in Norway. And he went on to be a great king. So this Birkebeiner race isn't just in America. This is the American Birkebeiner. Mm. There's Birkebeiners all over the world that reenact this. Some races actually make you carry a baby weight sized backpack or like baby. And it's kind of wild. So anyways, the warriors who saved that prince had birch. Birch was their armor. They used birch bark as armor. So you'll see birch. So our podcast is called the Birchcast. If you ski 20 Berkeys, you're called a birch legger. So you'll hear that phrase a lot. But anyways, in our podcast for the birch leggings, we talked with a skier who he had never skied a Berkey before. And he was probably in his teens. And a gentleman skied by him and said, how you doing, Ben? And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know you. He's like, I skied with your grandpa. I've skied this race with your grandpa for like 20 years. And his grandpa had just passed. Like, yeah. And so like, it's just like family tradition. It's really cool to see.
Well, and I love when you talked about there are events for young kids who are getting into this too. And obviously this is kind of where this tradition starts. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, Sean. Let's talk lodging. If someone is listening and they're like, yep, I'd really like to go help shovel. I'd really like to go help build that snow bridge. Is it still possible to find a place to stay around Hayward?
It is. It's tight. Definitely don't. I mean, the later in the year you look to come up here, the more kind of further out from town you'll be, but there's still plenty. There's Airbnbs everywhere. So people are always looking for opportunities up here. It's a big economic boom. So yes, the best way to go is go to the Hayward Chamber. They have a huge list. People call them. And that's probably the best way to make sure that you can find something that's open. So the Hayward Chamber has a great list of lodging, of Airbnbs, of people that say like, hey, my place is available. They're the best. They're the best connection for that.
What a great way to meet people and make friends. We talk about this on the show all the time about this horrible loneliness epidemic that seems to be across the country. This is a good way to get out of that. This is a good way to go get involved in something. Even if you don't ski, even if that's not your thing, go stay at somebody's B&B. Go help out. Go make some friends. Maybe this will become your, you know, your yearly pilgrimage. I think that's fantastic.
It is cool. And I know like snow starts falling and people are like, oh man, another bit of snow. But I think that's what's kind of cool about the cross-country ski community is they love that. Like, this is gold to us. Like, it's coming down and like, we love it. So I think that's, what's really, it's just a great community of people who wanna be together and enjoy the winter.
I think since last year, since we talked to you and we learned about so many businesses that really struggled because of the lack of snow. Every time, I don't personally like snow, but every time I think of the snow, I think of you guys. I think of the organizations and the businesses up north who need this snow. So I'm like, you know what? It's a little inconvenient for me, but it does a world of good for Sean, for the Berkey, and for all those folks up north.
Well, and think about the economic impact in that area, which is a very rural area. Wisconsin's got to be enormous.
100%. And actually, just lately, I mean, over the past, since last weekend, I'm hearing a lot more snowmobile engines just right outside my window. So even if, like, you know, you don't want to get out there and ski or hike or snowshoe, I mean, just snowmobiling, ice fishing, all those things are such an impact on the community here. And so the restaurants, the lodging, the whole community really thrives on that. So last year was really tough for people. And that's why we really pushed it to make sure we had a race so that way we could help support the community. But now this year, Mother Nature is helping us out and everyone's feeling a lot better this year.
Glad to hear it. Hope you have a fantastic Birkebeiner. Sean Connolly is the marketing director for the American Berkey. Can I get a American Barkebeiner t-shirt? I'll go to the merch website and look for one of those.
Yes, you'll find one for sure.
I need one of those. We have Brittany Merlot coming up next with Little Weather and Wine. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 11:30 news, J.R. Radcliffe will be joining us to talk all things sports. We will wrap up the show around 11:51, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Impossible Edition. It's a good one. You may want to stick around for that. She joins us every Thursday at this time. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot for a little weather and wine. Sure, you're all smiles this morning because
you know
we got snow.
Well, you got the snow. I didn't get anything here in Wausau.
There was nothing in Wausau.
No, this was definitely a southeast storm. I mean, West Allis picking up 8.5 inches, Milwaukee 7.5. I mean, even Sister Bay, Door County picked up 6 inches. So this was really, really driven by lake enhancement, those winds coming off the lake, that snow totals really increasing by Lake Michigan, and the rest of us, we didn't get much.
There was a pretty solid line right across the state, wasn't there? It went up to Green Bay, and then it seemed like everything north of Green Bay was pretty fine, except, again, if you were along the lake.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I think Janesville picked up 6 inches and Edgerton, but that was about it for the max snowfall totals from that system. But we needed it. We were four storms behind, so now we're three, and this weekend we'll make up for that.
Well, and it's really important for folks to realize, I know it's February. It's like, what do you mean we need snow? It's drought issues.
Yes.
We need an accumulation of snow over the winter so that when it melts in spring, the ground is wet and it makes it easier for our farmers to grow things.
Yes, we do. And we also need the cold too. I know today is a little bit brutal. Those wind chills are making us all feel sub-zero, but even the cranberry farmers, they need that. They need the ice. They need it frozen for those marshes so that the cranberries, our number one producer out of the state, can actually be well and good. So right now, we're looking good statewide for farmers and precipitation and all that. With this forecast coming up, we should be good to go for spring.
So I can go back to hating snow without feeling guilty?
After this weekend.
Okay, fine.
Couple more days, Greg.
On Sunday, I get to grumble. I'm going to sit there in my robe with a cup of coffee going, snow always here, plowing me in.
Because our next round is going to start tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes. So this weekend is very, very complicated in terms of forecasting. And I'm just going to say a blanket statement. The entire state of Wisconsin should probably stay in this weekend because it is going to be wild and snowy all weekend long. Here's what's happening. I'm going to try my best to break it down for you. These models have been all over the place and things keep changing. Some of them are blowing them out with crazy snow totals, and I don't really think that's going to happen. So what we're looking at is snow starting tomorrow, Valentine's Day, the day we all want to go out and go on dates and do special things. I strongly suggest not to, because we are looking at snow starting in the western part of the state around 3 o'clock, spreading statewide, reaching eastern areas by 7 o'clock, and it's going to hit hard and fast, quick accumulations, and we're looking at 4 to 7 inches into places of central Wisconsin and a good 3 to 5 inches far, far south and far, far north in the state. This is just tomorrow afternoon into the evening. We still have snow scattering through on Saturday. We could see another 1 to 3 inches into central parts of the state, and then another 2 to 5 inches into southeast parts of the state, where some lake enhancement could really filter in there as those winds shift off the lake, the system nears us. Some places could get 6 inches. And then Sunday, a cold front comes through, and for a long time it wasn't doing anything, but now it wants to spark up more snow, where we could get another inch or two on Sunday. So this would put weekend snow totals nearing a foot in some spots, and all of us well over a half of a foot.
Okay.
I know. Right.
Greg's biting his lip.
See, my only thing is that I do not have a choice. I have to go out on Friday night and Saturday night, so I do not like driving in this weather. If someone could just, come pick me up in a helicopter or a flying carpet or teleportation, that'd be great. I just, the notion of driving in this weather is always, it makes me nervous.
Absolutely. And it should. It's going to be a lighter, fluffier type of snow at first. Temperatures tomorrow will get into those mid to upper 20s, so it will turn a little wetter and heavier as it continues on. And then the cold Sunday, really, really light snow. So those road conditions are going to be poor. If you have to travel like Greg does, get that emergency weather kit in your car right now.
Cat litter. Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned that yesterday before the storm. Can you just go over briefly, or is there an article we can read on civicmedia.us that talks about a winter weather emergency kit for your car?
Yes, so we definitely have that on our website, but just to reiterate it, what I have and I always have in my car is cat litter or sand, because you want that for traction. If you go off the road and you're stuck in a snowbank, you're going to want those things. Plus some extra gloves, hat, hand warmers. Fill up your gas tank too, because these are colder temperatures. If you do get into an accident or spin off the road, you want that heat, don't you? Yeah. So you need the gas until someone comes and gets you. Road crews are going to be slammed this weekend between accidents and getting people off the side of the road and stuff like that. So you're going to want everything you can in your car, extra chargers, maybe even a battery bank too, in case your car isn't running. If you have an electrical car, some of those don't like the cold weather and get fussy. Those are the essentials. And a shovel. They even sell collapsible, foldable shovels. So if you have a small trunk or car, it'll fit nicely.
Might be a good night tomorrow night to stay home and have a nice romantic dinner if you were planning on going out for Valentine's Day. And just keep up on the forecast. And don't forget about that great website, 511wi.gov. And that will show you every accident all across the state of Wisconsin, places to avoid, roads to avoid. And it's going to stay cold, Brittany. So I'm going to go get out the leaf blower after the show is over and see if I can blow off what's left of the snow that we didn't get last night. So
yes, oh, take a video.
I should have done that.
It works.
Yeah.
I know. Or a broom.
I wish you would have told me this like 3 weeks ago before I dropped a nice bit of coin on a snowblower.
You might be happy that you have that this weekend.
Yeah.
You might be happy that you have that this weekend.
Which reminds me, shovel in shifts. This is snow, a lot of snow. If you're getting hot and sweaty, it is freezing outside. So something is wrong. Pay attention to your body. Heart attacks can happen.
Listen to Brittany Merlot, Weather and Wine. She joins us every Thursday at this time. Thank you so much, Brittany. Really appreciate it. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jake Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from the studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Impossible Edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. Good to see you. I'm glad you're in one piece.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Had a little bit of a head of fender bender this morning. I have never been in an accident of any kind. I, unless you count me accidentally tapping a car in my high school parking lot, just barely grazed it, looked at it. There was no damage on either vehicle. That is the most accident I've ever been in. Now, I've actually spun out on the highway during bad weather, like literally faced the wrong way. And still have not contacted anything until today when I tried to break at a stop sign. I was unsuccessful in doing so. Hit a whole bunch of snow and there was junk all over my tires and essentially T-boned another driver. But fortunately, their car's good. Mine is not great. It's not really that bad, but it's all bumper damage, but it'll probably be a couple grand when it's sure. all said and done. So I'm a little bummed this morning. I was definitely in a really rough mood. The guy I hit could not have been nicer. He was really, really great. So the experience, all things considered, could have been so much worse. And his car's fine. So that's obviously the biggest part. So we're doing okay. We're doing okay.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
Yes.
And it's just a good reminder, JR, that even though they've plowed, the roads are not in ideal condition. There's all kinds of spots. You know, sometimes when they take the plows and they go through an intersection, and then there's a little wall of snow that you
have
to get
through. That's exactly what happened to me. This is 4 blocks from my house. And I mean, there's no other way to plow. Like, you've got to do it that way. But it does create those hazardous conditions. And I was coming up driving like I normally would on my side street in terms of speed, which isn't outrageous by any means, but it wasn't cautious enough. You know, I needed to come up to that stop sign just crawling because I knew there was snow there. And then when I, you know, had to finally get on the brake, it was already too late. And I was sliding on through. It was tough, but
that's happened.
I'm totally fine. It's fine.
I'm glad. But there's that moment where you're hitting the brakes and you start sliding. And that's when all the expletives come pouring out of my mouth. I don't know what it's like for you, but it's like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah.
I was swearing so much loudly that I'm sure the guy thought I was mad at him. Like, looking back, I was like, man, I shouldn't have been doing that, because that guy, because I knew it was on me. I mean, I'm the one who slid through the stop sign. I'm the one who couldn't come to a complete stop, whether or not. Literally, whether or not that was on me. So I was furious, because my license plate got obliterated, just completely like bent up and knocked off my machine and like broken. And the rest of my car is really quite okay. Like, there's a crack. It's going to need some repair, but it's amazing to me how these bumpers work, like how they're able to absorb, how there was no damage on the other car. I have no idea how the physics of my license plate getting mangled could not hurt the other vehicle. I have no idea how that happened.
Well, we're glad you're okay. And again, keep this as a reminder to be careful. And it's certainly through the weekend. We have more snow coming. And we just talked to Brittany Merlot. It sounds like it's going to be every day this weekend. Yeah, so just keep that in mind to use some extra caution. Watch your speeds and watch those brakes. Which depressing area would you like to start first, JR, when we're talking about Wisconsin sports?
Yeah, well, it's not altogether depressive. The Bucks are heading into the All-Star break, and the Brewers are starting spring training. So you can be optimistic about either one of these teams, or pessimistic if you choose. I think we should start with the Bucks, because they're, you know, in the middle of their season. We'll talk about Greg Bach's Milwaukee Brewers in just a moment. But the Bucks did get a win last night. It was, I think, kind of an impressive win. It was without both Damian Lillard and Giannis. They beat Minnesota. That was kind of a stolen victory. They're still hovering just above 500. Giannis needs to get healthy. It sounds like that'll probably, well, at least to their assessment, happen shortly after the All-Star break. But there was a lot of thought that he would be healthy last year at some point in the playoffs, and that didn't even come close to materializing. So we'll see. That's definitely a reason to be concerned. And the Bucks in general are reason to be concerned. They've just made some trades that I think will make them better. Obviously, losing Chris Middleton is a huge, huge blow, both emotionally and as a player. He's still a really good player, even though he himself is coming off of some injury issues that have limited what he can do in terms of playing time. And I suppose a little bit on the floor, but he was still very good. So the jury is out, I think, on how good those trades have made this team, because Giannis has now not been healthy since those players joined the team. It does remain to be seen. They are building strictly around Giannis and Dame, and everybody else is just going to be a complementary piece to make that engine work. You can't have that work if, of course, the two guys at the centerpiece are not actually healthy to play. So they are going to do everything they can to avoid what happened last year when both guys were not healthy in the postseason. I still think, best case scenario, this is a team that's going to win a first-round playoff series and probably not much else. They're just not a championship-caliber team, outside of maybe a fringe championship-caliber team. So there is reason to be down on this team, because they're not what they had traditionally been. They aren't blowing anybody out. They're losing big time to the real challengers and barely skating by, or sometimes losing to lesser teams. So it has not been a glorious season. There is still hope in there, but it's going to require everything to kind of go right. So it's been kind of a downer year so far for the Bucks.
Who's really the standout right now in the NBA?
Well, there's a few. I mean, Oklahoma City is very good. Cleveland is very good. These are teams that have kind of the individual talent and on paper look like among the best teams in the NBA, but they haven't proven it in the postseason before. You know, Oklahoma City last year was really good. Cleveland is the top team in the East right now. They're 5.5 games ahead of the Celtics, which is crazy. I didn't even realize the number had gotten that big. Boston is, I think, seen reigning champ, you know, just trounced everyone in the playoffs last year. All those guys back. I still think Boston is seen as the front runner, but Cleveland on paper is 44-10. They're unbelievable, but they haven't done it in the postseason. They haven't shown with this group that they can get that far. So that remains to be seen. The Thunder are running away with the Western Conference. They've got an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's probably going to win MVP this season over Nikola Jokic, over Giannis. I'm not positive of that, but they are also on another level relative to the Western Conference. So I think it'd be cool to see Oklahoma City against Cleveland. If the Bucks can't get in that equation, that's a pretty like cool small market championship caliber matchup between those two teams. But I don't know if I believe that both of those teams are going to work all the way through the postseason. I think you're going to see a lot of teams that were not taking the regular season for granted, but just not putting their best foot forward yet, because the best was yet to come. Boston among them. That's what you're going to have to watch out for.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru to talk all things sports. Let's move on to the Brewers. Greg, how are you feeling about this as
how
we're getting ready to pitchers and catchers report pretty soon?
They reported. They're there. I'm going to borrow a phrase from sitting assembly member Francesca Hong and say that I am nauseously optimistic. I'm glad that we have Pat Murphy still here. I'm glad we still, you know, we've got the bones of a good team in there, but we lost some players last season, and I want to see what they're going to do in spring training. I don't want to say I'm not going to expect much this year, because last season we said that we're not sure where we're going to go, because this doesn't seem. Jackson Chirio could not carry the team, and he was too young and too inexperienced to do anything. But now he's got a year under his belt. I think we're gonna be a 500 team this year. I think we're gonna play decent. I don't think it's gonna be bad, but I just also don't see us going much further than that. And frankly, the past few seasons have been wild card and out. And for me, I know that qualifies us for the postseason. I buy the T-shirts every year. We get all excited, but as soon as we're popping champagne bottles, we're also then talking about how that team is probably going to annihilate us in the playoffs. So I want the Brewers to have a solid year or two of rebuilding, building a good team and going from there. And I think Pat Murphy at the helm is really great, because it brings a sense of family and unity to that team that it needs, because it's not a big market team. You don't have the big star. You have to rely on your players to work together and to really enjoy being around each other. And I think that's what Pat Murphy brings.
I think that's a reasonable take. I mean, it is notable. If this team is a 500 team, that's quite a bit of a step back from where they've been, if they are just like at 500. They won 93 games last year when I thought coming into the year they were a 500 team then. Like they grossly outperformed what I expected of them last year. And that's reason to believe, again, a lot of those same players are back. They've subtracted. They don't have Willy Adames. They don't have Devin Williams. They traded him to get a key piece in Nestor Cortez in the starting rotation. But I would look at this team and be like, they're okay. You know, 85, 86 wins, maybe, if everything breaks right. And maybe that would be a playoff contending team. It would not have been last year. 89 wins was what you needed to get in last year. So I don't look at it favorably, but this team has outperformed before multiple times. Yeah. I keep saying this. Each of the last two seasons, they won more games than the year before, and their payroll went down. So it isn't correlated strictly to are they spending more money and bringing more guys in. That said, they did not spend a dime this offseason. They didn't do anything to make their team better except that aforementioned trade, a couple major fringy signings of guys who did not play last year. They finally actually just signed a player who did play in the big leagues last year. A guy named Tyler Alexander, who's like just a depth piece. I mean, he wasn't great last year or the year before. So like, I on paper, I do think they got worse for sure. Willy Adames is gone. The Cubs are better. No more Devin Williams, although I don't think that'll hurt them quite as badly. But again, they've shown time and time again, they know what it takes to outperform expectations and outperform what you think you're seeing on the field. So you have to give them at some point a little bit benefit of the doubt. Yeah. To me, I would go into this season thinking the same thing I thought last season. That's a 500 baseball team, probably a little north of that, and that's not good enough to make the playoffs. And when you set the standard that they have, which is competing or going to the playoffs really every season, I think that is a step back. And you mentioned it earlier, Greg, like at some point you have to win a playoff series. And I know that that's random and it's a small sample and it's, you know, bad luck maybe. But when you have that many opportunities and you haven't broken through in, you know, 7 years, 8 years, There has to be something that you can account for. You can't just throw up your hands and say, well, dumb luck again got us. Fans aren't going to be happy with that. Fans aren't going to be satisfied with just another like first round exit. So I don't see a team now that's like, this team is good enough to go beyond the first round. But also there's obviously a lot of things to be decided here in spring training. And then during the season, if they can tweak or you get somebody like Tobias Myers who comes out of nowhere and greatly contributes, I can't rule that out either.
Yeah.
It just feels like the Brewers are notoriously tight-fisted when it comes to spending money. And who's that? It's like the Robin Voss of baseball, for heaven's sakes. It's my money and I'm not going to spend it. So bad, too bad, so sad, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that they're just not, they excel. They are number one. They would win the World Series of not spending money.
Of frugality.
Yeah.
And to be honest, they wouldn't, because a lot of teams are doing what they're doing, including the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, they haven't done anything this offseason. They've been so chill. And so, you know, because TV contracts are changing and maybe getting, you know, teams aren't getting as much revenue that way than they used to be. I think more, there is a greater cost consciousness than there used to be, certainly in Milwaukee, but also other places. There are a lot of teams that did spend, like the Detroit Tigers or the Baltimore Orioles, teams that you'd like to think the Brewers would be, you know, not directly competing with, but maybe financially competing with. Kansas City's payroll went up. So you'd like to think the Brewers would be swimming in those pools. They haven't been. Yeah. They're not going dramatically down in payroll. So there's also that to consider. But yes, I certainly think there's more they could do. I certainly think they probably left some stuff on the table. I'm sure they either feel differently or the financial constraints are just what they are and they have to work with what they have. Again, that process has led them to success. So I guess I just, at some point, I trust you guys. I trust you guys. We'll see. And I might say I told you so, but you gotta give them a little bit. You just can't discount their track record at this point. Yeah.
We've only got about 90 seconds left, JR. I just real quickly, from one of your colleagues, Michael Middlehurst Schwartz, it says, Aaron Rodgers' turbulent run with the New York Jets is meeting an unceremonious end. Ha!
Truly sad. Yeah. Truly, truly depressing. Pittsburgh Steelers could be an interesting spot for him. They had Russell Wilson this past year, former University of Wisconsin standout. He's probably not going to be there. So that's maybe there's a spot for him in the NFL, but I think it might be over. It might be over, Jane.
Stadium in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday. Thanks so much, J.R. Really appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys soon.
This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the way to wrap up the show. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron on Air. Jane Matt and Aaron, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Courage MKE, an LGBT plus organization in Milwaukee. Lots of things coming out of the Trump administration and a lot of concern among our friends in the LGBTQ plus community. So we're going to be talking to Courage MKE tomorrow morning at 10:33. I'm pretty sure, Greg, we will spend a little segment. Linda McMahon right now is sitting for her confirmation hearing to head up the Department of Education. And she does actually have some background in education. I did not realize that. Yeah. But she said something this morning that I think is going to be of interest to parents in Wisconsin, essentially saying that charter and choice schools have every right to refuse kids who don't meet their standards.
Fine. Then give the money back.
Yeah. I don't think she wants that.
Stop. Too late. You don't want them. You don't get the money. That's how it works. Sorry.
Seems reasonable.
One,
to me,
two, three. I win. You lose. That's how wrestling works.
Well, we're going to kick that around tomorrow as well. Okay. Next week, we have a jam-packed week for you. Lou Anne Bird will be joining us. She is still involved in politics. She has lost her last two races. That's not keeping her down.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. And I all think we can be inspired by Ms. Bird, who's going to be joining us. Lou Anne Bird, you're going to be joining us on Monday. Representative Mark Pocan will be here on Tuesday. Alex Lawson from Social Security Works is going to be joining us on Thursday to talk about potential changes to the Social Security system under a second Trump administration. So all kinds of things coming up for you next week as well. Mm-hmm. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, it's 11:54. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today, this tisbet from UPI.com. Headline reads, with the byline from Ben Hooper, a possum eats entire Costco chocolate cake in Nebraska yard. An opossum treated at a Nebraska animal hospital after wandering into a family's backyard and gorging itself on an entire chocolate mousse cake from Costco. Kim Doggett says she put the cake on the picnic table in her backyard because they ran out of room in the fridge. She says, we always have a house full. We cook a lot. So when we run out of room in the fridge, we just stick it outside and put it on the picnic table. And I think a lot of folks in Wisconsin do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I understand that.
And assume it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
In this instance, however, her son had taken some fresh made peanut butter balls outside to cool. And there he found an opossum curled up on a chair, which was covered in chocolate paw prints. The cake had been knocked off the table, was sitting in front of the opossum. It was almost completely gone. The animal was not moving and appeared to be panting.
Oh.
She said the opossum looked a little distressed, so we called the Humane Society to get him checked out. She couldn't find anything online on whether or not chocolate is dangerous to opossums. So rather than take the chance, they contacted their local Humane Society. Nebraska Wildlife Rehab posted a photo of the animal along with this quote, opossum brought in due to having eaten an entire Costco chocolate cake. Everyone was posting that this possum is their spirit animal.
I mean, who hasn't been there? Who hasn't seen a cake on a picnic table and thought, you know what? I need to eat that whole thing. Now, granted, if I go to the doctor and I've eaten an entire cake, I'm not in danger. I just probably should also see a therapist as well, because that's not good behavior. So,
veterinarians who treated the opossum with activated charcoal that was to neutralize any potential toxic elements from the chocolate. Unfortunately, the opossum was also found to have a high level of lead, likely from eating local insects, but the opossum now is being treated for that. She's expected to be released in a few weeks. With some time in rehab, this chocoholic should be stabilized enough to return to the wild. Until then, she is definitely a little cranky about our strict zero chocolate policy. You gotta love a wildlife group with a sense of humor.
Yeah, right. And a possum is like, well, I still want my chocolate. I don't care if it makes me sick.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Take it easy on the roads. Please be careful. We have more snow coming in tomorrow. And then through the weekend, we will recap that for you tomorrow as well. We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, Dom Salvia, 4 to 6, and Nightlights with Pete Schwabba. Great way to unwind from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.